This is Yolanda Harrell. I'm doing an interview for the Black Heritage in the Upper Piedmont in Pendleton with Robert Thompson on February 7th, 1990. Mr. Thompson, what is your full name?
Robert Henry Thompson.
When were you born?
August 18th, 1926.
And where were you born?
Here in Pendleton. In fact, in the same house I'm in now.
Have you lived in this house all your life?
I haven't lived here all my life, but...
But you were born in this house.
I was born here, yes.
Who were your parents?
Well, my father's name is William Quince Thompson, and he was married to Dorothy Rosetta Hamburg.
And can you tell me when each of them were born?
My father was born January 22nd, 1894, and my mother was born February 7th. 1897.
And where were each of them born?
They were both born here in Pelton.
Now, you said you had lived in, was born in this house. Did your parents live in this house for a long time?
Yep. They bought this house right after they married, a short time after they married.
Do you have any idea who built it?
No, I don't. I am not sure about that. I have deeds from former owners of the house,
mm-hmm.
and one was a man named Hun Ferguson, and the other deed was from a lady, and that's who my father bought the property from, Miss Tempe Wilson.
Were these white people or black people?
Hun Ferguson was black, Miss Tempe Wilson was white.
Okay. Tell me about your grandparents. Can you give me their names?
On my father's side?
Yeah, on your father's side.
On my father's side, okay. My grandfather was Stuart Thompson, and my grandmother was Josephine Thompson.
And can you tell me when Stuart Thompson was born?
No, I can't. Not on Stuart and Josephine, I can't.
Right. Now I have a Dayton family tree that says 1863 for Stuart Thompson.
Well, that,
got that,
that
out of your
that
family
is
Bible?
Probably correct. Yeah, that is here in the Bible, yeah.
All right. And then Dorothy Hamburg Thompson, your mother, can you tell me the names of her parents?
Robert Clark Hamburg and Mamie Mary,
mm-hmm.
a nickname. They call her Mamie, but Mary Hamburg, Mary Watkins.
Mary Watkins Hamburg. All right, and her parents, you told me earlier in the family tree that her mother's name, what was that?
Phoebe, Watkins.
And Robert Clark Hamburg, I understand, was adopted?
He was adopted by Miss Hester Smith, and we looked upon her as our great-grandmother.
I see. And let's go back to Stuart Thompson, and what was his father's name?
His father's name was Reuben.
And Reuben Thompson's mother's name?
She was Martha Jones.
No, Reuben Thompson's mother.
Reuben Thompson's mother? Oh, was Betty Thompson.
That's right, and she's the one that later married a Jackson, is that
right? That's right.
Okay.
That's correct.
And Reuben Thompson's wife's name was Martha Jones, mm-hmm. as you told me. And where was she from?
Martha Jones was from Mexico.
That's right. I thought I remembered you telling me that when we were doing the family tree, that there were some interesting things about that. All right. Can you tell me anything at all about your grandparents? Do you remember anything
My grandparents on my father's side, they were dead. They went when I, as far back as I can remember, I don't remember them.
They would be Stuart and Josephine,
Stuart
and they were
Josephine,
gone.
Josephine, they were already gone. But my grandparents on my father, on my mother's side,
mm-hmm.
I remember them well because they died. Let's see, I think my grandmother died in 1958. No, my grandfather died in 1958. My grandmother must have died around 1945 or 46.
Mm-hmm.
And so they lived just a short distance from us and spent quite a bit of time with them.
Can you remember anything about them that you'd like to share with us?
Oh, yeah. She was a very... conservative type lady, and a lady, very much a lady.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather was a man about my size, and He was a farmer and a carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a hard worker. In fact, everybody back then, mostly were hard workers. And he was a lot of fun to be with. I liked being around him. He taught me a lot. I learned a lot from him.
Did he own his own property when he was a farmer, or did he farm for someone else?
Part of the property he owned, part of it he farmed for other people.
Mm-hmm.
But he owned this, in fact, this land between where I live here, the land between the streets here, he owned that land. And he owned on the other side of the highway up here, he owned that. That was where his house was, where his house is.
Well, his house is on the other side.
It's right on the other. His house is between Mechanic Street and Key Street.
Okay. And this would be Robert Clark Hamburg.
That's
and his
right.
property would be over there.
That's right.
Now, this is Hamburg Street, so
mm-hmm.
I take it that's where
that's
the name
comes
from.
That's where the name came from, yes.
Right, because I heard the story from Ms. Alexander the other day about the name of their street.
Mm-hmm. That's Thompson Street.
Right. No, she lives on Queen Street.
She lives on Queen Street.
And Ms.
Yeah.
Howard lives on Thompson
That's
Street.
That's right. Ms. Howard lives on Thompson.
But Thompson Street would be named for your family as well, because you and she are related. Is that right,
sure.
Ms. Mm-hmm. Ms. Howard and you? Okay.
No, Ms. Alexander and I are related.
Oh, I'm getting mixed up now. You and Ms. Alexander are
That's
related.
Right.
All right. And what is the relationship there?
We I don't know how they do it in modern times, but the way we figured it, we would be second cousins once removed, I believe.
Well, you share a common, he would be your great-grandfather, but he's her grandfather, Reuben Thompson, right?
Her grandfather and my great-grandfather were brothers.
Oh, all right.
Stuart and Barry were brothers.
That's right. So that would be the connection. Okay. When your grandfather was a carpenter, did he work for himself here again? Did he work for people around here?
Oh, yes. Self-employed.
And by carpenter, did he build houses, or what did he do?
He built houses along with other people. Now, he didn't contract houses on his own,
mm-hmm.
but he worked along with other carpenters who contracted house building. Did a lot of work in that area.
Can you name any of the people that he built with, some of the men that he contracted with? I mean, he worked for who did the contracting?
I don't remember the people he worked for. I do remember him working on houses,
mm-hmm.
helping people to build houses. In fact, he helped to build. This house had to be rebuilt in 1935, and he did quite a bit of work on this house.
Mm-hmm. So there's several houses around here that you know he helped.
That's right.
Work on.
Mm-hmm.
And he was able to make a living then from the farming and building of the houses.
Carpentry, he made a living.
And where did your grandparents live? You were telling me a different.
My grandparents on my father's side?
No, your mother's. The ones that we were just talking about, Mr. Hamburg, they lived right in this area,
yeah, that's
too?
That's the one that I was talking about.
That's right. Mm-hmm. They lived right in this area. Okay.
That's right.
Did they own their own home?
Yes.
Yes, they did. Okay. And do you remember any other relatives when you were growing up and talking about their early lives?
Oh, yes. All my daddy's sisters and brothers, most of them lived right around in this area.
So you had a lot of family right here.
Oh, yeah. My daddy came from a family of 14.
Oh, he was one of 14.
That's right.
Oh, my.
Came from 14 and... Several of them lived in this area. Several of them lived here. In fact, one of his brothers lived right here with us next door when he became old and disabled.
Mm-hmm.
We brought he and his wife over here, and he died at 100 years old, and his wife died at 101.
Hmm. Did any of them ever talk about slavery or what they remembered or knew from their parents?
No, not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because they came from a family of blacksmiths.
Oh.
And I think the last time that, I think my Reuben's mother was born into slavery.
Uh-huh.
But the ones from then, from there on down were free people, because the blacksmith were free people, and they came from a long line of blacksmiths.
Oh, so your family's been free for a long time then?
Well, most of them. Yeah, most of them.
Do you know where the older members of your family are buried?
Most of them are buried at our home church right here in King's Chapel AME Church.
So your home church is King's Chapel AME. Mm-hmm. That's the same one that Mrs. Alexander
belongs to. That is correct.
That's
our family church.
Right.
In fact, my great-grandfather's name is on the deed of the property. Land for the church was purchased.
Of the church?
Mm-hmm. That land was purchased in, where the church is standing now, was purchased in 1887 from the town of Thornton. It was a street. That street was supposed to go on through over to and connect with another street, but it was never finished. And that part of the street was sold to King's Chapel AME Church for $25. In 1887.
My goodness.
And the property is only 80 feet wide, but it's 663 feet long.
What was the great-grandfather's name then? Whose deed, whose name is on the deed?
Great-grandfather Reuben.
Great-grandfather Reuben's mm-hmm. name is on that. All right. Do you know if the graves are all marked? Are your, all your family?
Most of them are marked. Mm-hmm. I have an aunt up there. She lives at Sullivan, and that would be Cornelia's aunt, too. We call her Aunt Lizzie. Mm-hmm. Her grave is not marked, but I have an idea where it is. Mm-hmm. That's the only grave I know of that's not marked.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember hearing about funerals in the family or community from your older relatives? Did they ever tell you about how the funerals were conducted or what they were like?
Funerals were conducted in this family practically the way they are now. Very little difference.
There wasn't very much difference.
No,
okay.
My family is not a very emotional family. Mm-hmm. So the funerals were not the emotional type that you usually hear about.
Right.
All the ones I've been to.
Rather quiet affairs, mm-hmm. you would
rather
say.
Rather quiet affairs.
Nothing unusual that you know of that was done or anything about the bodies or the death or that was conducted in any particular way?
Okay. Now, they told me about the, I heard my grandfather talk about before the days of embalming, mm-hmm. that when a person died, they would, and I heard my daddy talk about it too, because my daddy would build the coffins, mm-hmm. they call them coffins then. He'd build coffins in his shop. Back then he had a shop, a blacksmith shop, but it was a combination shop. Blacksmith, carpentry, wheelwright, and just about anything you wanted done, you could get it done at that shop that he and his brother ran. So he told me about in the early days, they made coffins for people. They made them to size to fit the person who to be buried. And they made them out of whatever kind of wood they ordered. And my grandfather talked about how they would, when a person died, they would lay them out on what they called a cooling board. Mm. And that would be basically a large kitchen table or something of that sort. And that's where the family members would bathe them and dress them before burial.
So in other words, the family members did all that sort of thing, not since it wasn't embalming, you didn't have a funeral parlor doing that kind of thing.
Right.
The family did that. Do you remember anything or hearing about marriages or weddings that took place when you were young? Not when you were young, when they were young.
Well, my mother and father were married, and we have their wedding pictures here. And
you did? They had
weddings, and they were elaborate affairs just like they are now in my family.
I know what I want to ask you. What families are related to you by marriage in this area? We've talked about different people before we started the tape, so even if it's repetitive to you, I'd like for you to tell me
Well, the family with that we have that's related to us more by marriage than any other family would be the Winston family. And that's a very old family in this town, too. Two of my dad's brothers married two Winston sisters. Uh-huh. And one of my dad's sisters married a Winston nephew.
There are a lot of Winstons so in there.
We are, and the Millers. Yeah, we do. We are related to the Millers by marriage. Uh-huh. And that's the only two families that we have a lot of relatives right in this area.
And then you're related to Mrs. Alexander.
Well, yes.
And her,
yes.
Her family, you'd be related to all of them.
That's right.
Okay. Do you have any old photos in the house?
Yes, we have some old photos.
So if I sent Mrs. Reed by, you would have some old photos. Do you know who are in some of these pictures? Well, for instance, who's in that picture?
That is my grandmother and her youngest daughter.
And that's the picture we're speaking of above the mantelpiece.
In fact, she's still living. The daughter there in that picture is still living. She's 81 years old. She's about 85. She lives in Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, she died?
Mm-hmm.
So you would have some photographs.
We would have some old photographs. Yeah, we have photographs of the entire group of my father's family.
Mm-hmm.
And we have photographs from our family reunions that we have.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, we'd have photographs from both my mother and my father's side of the family.
You told me what your grandfather did for a living. He was a carpenter and a farmer. Did your grandmother do anything besides raising a family?
She was a housewife.
Right. And you told me that your grandparents on the other side were gone before you really knew them, but do you have any idea what they did for a living?
Yes, they were. My grandfather was a farmer and a carpenter.
He was also?
Yeah, he was a farmer and a carpenter. And he died at age 42 or 43. He died rather early, yeah, and he was a furniture maker.
Stuart Thompson was
a furniture maker. We have one piece of furniture out in the barn now that he made. Oh, chest of drawers that he made.
You do, so you have a piece. Oh, that's
mm-hmm.
great.
And yeah, some of his furniture's in the other house up here.
So you actually have pieces of
furniture. Yeah, we have
pieces
of furniture that he made.
Now, do you have any idea what his wife did? Was she a homemaker only, or did she do something?
Well, she was a homemaker up until the time that he died, but she had 12 children still left there to raise after he died, and she began to truck farm.
Oh, my goodness.
They turned their farm into a truck farm, and they sold vegetables and eggs and poultry, and they had a regular route that they went on, and that's how she supported the family for them, and managed to educate some of them. By a truck farming.
That's marvelous. Now, one of the things I want to ask you about, I lost my train of thought. Mrs. Thompson is going to join us for a few minutes because she has some interesting information about Josephine Gresham, Mr. Thompson's grandmother. First of all, Ms. Thompson, what is your first name?
My name is Elsie. I'm the wife of Robert Thompson.
And how long have you been married?
I'll be married 44 years on the 28th of this month, in February.
All right. Now, you were telling me something very interesting about Josephine Gresham. It seems that Stuart died. Is that right?
Yeah, Stuart died when the youngest child was only about 2 months old. That was Willie McLaughlin, who is still living, the only of 14 children is still living. And she had all those children to raise.
How many?
She had 12 children still to be raised because one of their sons died in Orangeburg of fever, and the other child died when their house burned, when he was burned in the house fire. So she had 12 children to raise, and she started a truck farm, and she did farming. But she was such an outstanding person in the community and had done so well with her boys. Most of them were boys, and then she had five girls, too. But the thing that stood out in my mind about her, that she was so well respected by both the black people and the white people of this community, until when she died, there was a write-up in the newspaper about her. And at that time, no black person's death was ever recorded in the newspaper in this area. And as the family history goes, she was the daughter of a lady who was part Cherokee Indian and part German, and they came originally from Walhalla, South Carolina.
I understand. That was her history there.
Yes.
Now, you were also telling me, or Mr. Thompson, we'll go back to you now. You were reading me something that was rather interesting about Stuart Thompson's father, Reuben Thompson, or rather about his mother, Betty Thompson Jackson. Could you just read those few paragraphs and give us some history? Do you want me to read them?
When we began to have family reunions, organized family reunions.
Yes, sir.
We had one member of our family that lives in Washington to do research on our family. And these are important facts from the family tree at the Thompsons of Pelham, South Carolina. It says here, through research and oral history, the Thompsons of Pelham, South Carolina, believed to have had their origin in Cherokee, Virginia, Charleston, South Carolina, and Pickens County, Walhalla, South Carolina, according to history. The first Thompson ancestors migrated from Ireland, Germany, and Mexico. The American Indian is also a part of the Thompson's family heritage. George Seaborn, an Irish slave owner, fathered Reuben Thompson by one of his slaves, Elizabeth Betty Thompson. Betty called her son by her maiden name, Thompson, instead of by Seaborn. Reuben married Martha Jones, a black woman from Mexico, according to the oral history sources. Now, I can go on and tell you when the written history of the Thompson family, when what we've been able to find in the census.
Go ahead, please.
Reuben and Martha's family was enumerated on the 1870 census of Anderson, South Carolina. That was in Pelham. At the time of the census, Reuben was 46 years old, and Martha was 40. 9 children were at that time born to them, and they were listed on the census register. There was Henry, 18, Rinaldo, 16, Stuart, 14, Florence, 12, Reuben, 10, that was my great-grandfather, Eddie B., and James G., and Willie, 4, and Lizzie was 1 year old. We know that another son, John, was born to Reuben and Martha. Of Reuben and Martha's 10 children, only 3 had descendants. And that was Stuart Ellis, who is my grandfather,
right.
Great-grandfather. And Stuart's my grandfather.
That would be your grandfather.
And James Berry, that's who, he was Cornelius' grandfather. And John Andrew. And it is from these 3 sons that our present Thompson clan was derived.
Very good. Ms. Thompson, you said something else was interesting written on the census. What was that?
It was also written on the census at this time that each one of these children could read and write.
That is interesting. Do you know, Mr. Thompson, if any of your older relatives had to leave the area to find work? Did any of them leave Pendleton to go north or other places in South Carolina or to go south?
Well, practically all of my grandfather's brothers and sisters remained in the area.
Mm-hmm.
But now my father's, some of his brothers and sisters left the area.
Mm-hmm.
He had one brother that lived in Detroit, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Uncle Walter. Uncle Booker lived in Cleveland, Ohio.
Did they leave to find better work? Was that the reason?
That's why they left.
Economics.
Uh-huh. Aunt Willie, the only one that's still alive, mm-hmm. lived in Greensboro, North Carolina. Now, she went to Greensboro because her husband was on the faculty at A&T College.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was Uncle Sam, who went to Orangeburg,
mm-hmm.
and that's where his family still is, in Orangeburg, South Carolina. That's the only ones that I know of that left from around here and, mm-hmm. and made their homes in other places.
Right.
All of the others, as far as I know, lived here.
Now, in each case of your grandparents, they both own their land.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
We own the land.
No sharecropping or any of that, renting or anything.
The Thompson land is the land that they owned is where Woodhaven Golf Course is now. And where the Andersons live, the Anderson family live. They sold that, I can remember, I still remember when it was sold.
Mm-hmm.
I used to go out to what we call the old home place with Daddy when I was a boy. And they were renting the property then to someone who farmed it, to the Sims family that farmed it during my childhood.
Mm. Did any of your family work for the railroad that you know of?
Henry. Henry was Stewart's brother.
So this would be Henry Thompson.
Mm-hmm. Henry was Stewart's brother, and he was a fireman for what is now called the Blue, back then it was the Blue Ridge Railroad. It's the Norfolk and something now.
Norfolk and Southern.
Norfolk and Southern now. And he was a fireman on the railroad at that time. And he was a crew member on the train that wrecked during what they called a freshet, which was a flood,
mm-hmm.
that washed out the bridge over, I believe it was 6 and 20 Creek. And the train went into the creek. And he was a fireman on that train. He was killed in that wreck.
Now, when did that happen? Do you remember? 1870s or 80s? Or do you have any idea?
I don't remember, but it's a write-up occasionally in the paper about it, even now. And
I understand that every now and then it's
we have that now scrapbooks around here somewhere.
Oh, you do?
Oh,
so
yes.
So Ms. Reed could find that in your scrapbook.
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure we could find it.
I understand that he lived the longest of all the survivors. I mean, he did die, but
mm-hmm.
he was found in the water,
yeah.
and he lived
mm-hmm.
longer than anyone
else. That's what we've been told.
As much to your knowledge about your grandparents in those days, do you know the kinds of jobs that were open to black men at that time?
Well, even back then, and even when I finished school, you had three choices, and it's very limited. Employment was very limited. You could go into business for yourself, you could preach, or you could teach,
mm.
or you could farm. Those were just about the choices that you had, other than the mediocre jobs that you find. Very seldom a black person found good-paying jobs,
mm-hmm.
Because when I first went to work, even though I had a college degree in industrial education, I had a choice of teaching or going into a plant around here. I went to a textile-related plant, and the only job that I could have in that plant was a laborer.
Mm.
I went in as a laborer.
With a college degree?
With a college degree.
When you say go into business for yourself, you're speaking of the type of carpentry business and that
you
kind
could go
of
into
thing?
To that type of business, but it was only on a very small scale because you couldn't get the financial backing. I opened up a repair shop and a welding shop,
mm-hmm.
but we still didn't have the financial backing that you can, that's available now.
Mm-hmm.
You had to do it from scratch yourself.
Right.
Small store, and a lot of black people opened up small stores, the neighborhood grocery stores.
Oh, yeah.
Barbershops, dry cleaning establishments
mm-hmm.
were opened up and owned by black people. Restaurants,
mm-hmm.
and because you couldn't go into, everything was strictly segregated, you couldn't go into white restaurants. You couldn't buy a meal anywhere,
mm-hmm.
and except if you happened to find a black restaurant in the area. And those were the type of jobs that were all we had up until in the late 60s.
Right. And you said the reason that so many of your family was free because they were a heritage of blacksmith.
Blacksmith, yeah. And traditionally, a blacksmith was a free man.
Hmm.
If you search all through slavery, you find that the blacksmiths were free men. They were special people in the neighborhood.
You know why? Why? Because they had this special thing that they did?
Well, the blacksmith touched on the lives of people through many different ways. Farming, since farming was the greatest, most noted occupation in this area, in the South, the blacksmith, without the blacksmith, farming couldn't have happened, because you had to shoe the mules, you had to sharpen the plows, you had to make most of the tools, You looked after the horses. Everything that a farmer that was dear to a farmer, it had to, the blacksmith had to have something to do with it. And I can remember back when I was a kid, I almost lived at my daddy's blacksmith shop because it's a very interesting place.
And was that your father that did blacksmithing, or was this a
my father man? Did blacksmithing mm-hmm. up until I was a teenager.
Oh, I see.
And my uncle did blacksmithing until his death, Uncle Joe.
Hmm.
He was a blacksmith. That was the only occupation he ever had. And he stayed in that until he retired.
Hmm. Now, we talked about the black men and the jobs they could do. Now, what kind of jobs or occupations would be open to black women?
Well, a lot of the women in the family were teachers. In fact, I think two of my aunts founded the Oak Grove School.
They did. Now, what were their names?
Aunts.
Florence was one, and Aunt Leslie was the other. And they found at the Oak Grove School.
And where is that located?
That's located, was located, in fact, the building is still there, I believe. Right outside of a town and a little area called